Okay, we are going to move on to the water crisis happening right now in Puerto Rico, and I think it'd actually be it'd be apt, adequate, okay, to say that the ongoing water crisis in Puerto Rico, because this is actually not new. It is 8:24 in the morning here on Lawn Soda. I am your host, Kit Brooks. Thousands of Puerto Ricans are without water, and it is severe enough. The governor thought fit to call in the National Guard to help distribute what little water there is to go around. I'm always surprised when we use military apparatus to do mutual aid, but that's a different segment probably. Joining us to discuss is Deborah Santana, retired professor of geography and ethnic studies at Mills College, and author of Kicking Off the Bootstraps, Organizing from Las Piedras, Puerto Rico. She drives global solidarity movements for Cuba, Palestine, and Venezuela. She's a lifelong anti-imperialist, a leader in the Puerto Rican Independence Party, and a frontline activist who fought to stop the U.S. Navy bombing of Vieques. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are
Glad to
you
be
so
here.
I'm glad to have you here. I think I actually do want to start just with material conditions on the ground in Puerto Rico right now. What is the impact on people? How are people surviving?
Well, this water crisis, which actually didn't start just now, but of course it's been aggravated by a lot of circumstances, is part of the general crisis that I would say is part of the three C's: colonialism, capitalism, and corruption. It's been cooking for quite some time. And besides the fact that we have ongoing electricity crisis, primarily because of the privatization of this essential service and a partial privatization of the water service, this is a kind of ongoing crisis of non-sustainability. Colonialism is not sustainable. Capitalism is not sustainable. And Puerto Rico is sort of in the FAFO. We're in the FO part of FAFO, where everything is kind of coming together, where very little is working.
That might be one of the favorite things that a guest has ever said on this show. Oh, right on. We're at the find out. For folks who don't know, it's a bleep around and find out, and this is the find out moment. So that actually segues, because I almost started here, but I wanted to talk about material conditions, because as I'm thinking about a population where 40% of folks are under the poverty line. I'm thinking about disabled folks. I'm thinking about elderly folks. I'm thinking about the fact that this is colliding with summer. I'm thinking about how is this going to impact the electrical grid? I'm thinking of people that have caretakers, right, and caregivers that are now also in crisis. So the ripple effect, the material impact on actual people in this find out moment, is serious. Is something we need to pay attention to, and could actually get worse. Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Puerto Rico, as a colony without sovereignty, and we don't vote in U.S. elections. We vote in our own colonial elections, such as they are. But it was also a aging population. Many of our youngest people have left. Fewer now because going to the United States is not the attraction it may once have been for obvious reasons. But they have a serious problem. There are fewer of them, and there are many of us. I'm one of the, I guess, one of the aging population segment. And the issue of the crisis of the privatization and capitalization of healthcare, the privatization of electric services, of water services, the lack of control of real estate and the development for tourism, for luxury tourism, and the basically open season for North Americans who get tax breaks to buy up a lot of our properties and price us out. Plus the years of building where we're not supposed to build in the coastal areas, the mangrove areas, deforesting the basins, the river basins. And I just want to mention that Puerto Rico of the greater Antilles, the four larger islands of the Caribbean, we're the ones with the most water. And that's not necessarily helping us because of the legacy of all these years of building according to I would say a model that might be better for the United States. And in fact, it's not so good for the United States either. But this kind of like continental model in a small tropical island. And so all of this is kind of coming to a head at the same time. When you add to this that right now in climate with climate change, which is real, we're now in a hurricane season. But we're also in what's going to be probably one of the largest El Niño season since it's recorded, which of course means there's going to be more hurricane activity in the Pacific, but less here in the Atlantic. And not that one hurricane that hits you directly is catastrophic, but none of us really are sad to not see a lot of hurricanes. But that also means that those processes, global processes, are what bring us our rainfall, which we need in the rainy season. And it's also causing an increase in what we call the Sahara dust, the polvo de Sahara, which also is the same system, basically, literally Sahara dust coming to the Caribbean, which has its ecological function, but also inhibits the formation of tropical waves. So this is shaping up to a drier than normal season, which, when you add to the legacy of poor planning or sometimes no planning and maintenance, little maintenance of our water system because it's been parceled out to political allies who cut corners, a lot of those systems are failing right now due to the lack of maintenance. So it's all kind of together at the same time.
Can you talk about? I was trying to figure out where I wanted to go next after that. You sort of answered all of my questions in one brilliant response. So I may ask you to repeat some threads to parse some stuff out some
Sure.
more. But first, I want to go to House Bill 1079 by Jenny Mendez, which is Puerto Rico's Speaker of the House of Representatives, which would weaken, as I understand from me, protections on the island's karst region, which covers 27.5% of Puerto Rico. And has all sorts of resources, limestone, underground water sources, caves, etc. This would be yet another attack on natural systems, yes, for
Yes,
extraction.
and it's part of a package of different bills, which I'll mention. But just to speak about that, the karst region, and in fact, as someone who studied geology, if the people who named karst regions had been to Puerto Rico before they went to Eastern Europe, which is where it's named for, they probably would have named it for us because it's a perfect example of an area. It has to do with the calcite rocks and other geological formations, which causes a actually a storage and production of fresh water and an incredible underground system of rivers. We have actually the second largest underground river system in the Western Hemisphere. The first, I believe, is near the not far from the Grand Canyon, but we're the second. All right. So to give you an idea, and that literally is responsible for the fact that we have so much good fresh water in great segments of Puerto Rico, the entire north. Parts of the west, parts of the central, and of course, for people who are not familiar with Puerto Rico, we're very mountainous, but the mountain is mostly east to west and along the central, and the northern part is more humid. The Atlantic part and the southern part, which is the Caribbean part, is drier. Okay, just to give people an idea, the karst region has long been protected by a series of legal measures. It precisely to try to slow down and to protect the destruction of the karst region. There have been damages to the karst region, but that is an incredibly important element of what makes Puerto Rico livable. But like I said, there are a couple of other proposed laws that go together. One of them is has to do with changing how the maritime zone, the zona marítima, is defined, because the maritime zone also protects and limits how much you can develop those areas. Those are the areas with coastal dunes, the areas with mangroves, the areas that are wetlands, the areas that really need to be protected. They're part of our protection against hurricanes. They are part of our protection and protection of species, fish, for example, vegetation. And there are also areas that, if you do a lot of building, they are extremely vulnerable. If you have an earthquake, for example, a lot of the really bad damages happens on these luxury buildings that were built on soil that should never have had those big buildings built. So just to give an example, just to name a couple of things. And then the third piece of legislation is what they call a flexibilization. I'm sure you've heard this, of permits, of bureaucracy about public hearings and permits and all of that. You put all of them together, and it basically means that anything goes. The few protections that we've had that allow to get information when there is a proposal that we have doubts about, that allows us to sue, that allows us to demand hearings, that allows us to protest. All of this can be wiped away, and it can lead, and we believe it is designed to get rid of the obstacles to certain mega projects which are being proposed. So just to mention one, is a mega project which is still being proposed called Essencia. In southwestern tip of Puerto Rico and Cabo Rojo, the driest area of Puerto Rico, an area that is also very, very vulnerable as far as endangered species, and it's also seismically vulnerable. Okay, and it has very little water. For the people who are there, it has very little water already. This is a mega project which includes two golf courses, if you can imagine.
I can, sadly.
Yes, and the thing is, I mentioned Essencia, not that it's the only one, but it's one of the projects that we have really managed to organize very, very well, to the point where a lot of the public has been informed about it, what is going on. And we actually had a protest in San Juan, a march in late March, that had over 50,000 people. And that may not sound like a lot, but in terms of our public, our present capacity, keeping in mind that we have fewer young people, a lot of older people, it was an amazing turnout when you consider that. And it also led to hearings, legislative hearings, which are still ongoing after the summer break, to public hearings about the viability of this project. And that particular legislation was submitted by the Puerto Rican Independence Party over a year and a half ago, and it just sat there. Not surprising, the week after this big protest, they called for hearings. So it just gives you an idea of the legislation. You need public pressure. And just to give you an example of one thing. But yeah.
Thank you. And you actually went where I was going to go next, because the tagline of this show is expose, agitate, and build. And so I did want you to talk about the resistance that's happening. Before I let you go, so I visit Hawaii a lot. I go every 3 months. That's where I go. And I was there during the last round of storms. They were pretty intense and severe, and there was extensive damage. And indigenous folks were asking people not to come. Right, like, unless send aid if you're here, help. But otherwise, like, don't come disaster tour what has happened to our communities. And what I saw online and in response was a bunch of Howleys really upset about their vacations being ruined. And I bring that up because as I was getting ready to talk to you, and I'm like sort of going down rabbit hole threads, I don't know what the equivalent term in Puerto Rico for Howleys is, but them folks really
Gringos,
upset. Oh, gringos,
gringos.
okay. It's a bunch of gringos really upset about is their vacation in Puerto Rico going to be ruined? And so the message for the gringos in this moment, please.
Yes, I would say that that's well taken, and it's not that we want to discourage tourism, but we do have to say if we have a water shortage and we have to do rationing, it's absolutely not fair that the hotels get water and the people don't, and especially the Airbnbs. And I have to specifically say they do not pay the taxes that the hotels do, which at least help somewhat. They do not have the regulations. It is not regulated here. And I'll just give you an example. And there's a part of San Juan called Condado and Ocean Park that has really been plagued by these Airbnbs. And a lot of these have been connected. They are many of them the product of a real estate speculation by people who don't even live here, who buy up the rental housing so our own working people cannot bit by there. And then they are simply connecting their services without having approved connections to the sewers. And so it is not uncommon on the beach at Isla Verde and the beach right over there to have brown currents coming out onto the beach. It sounds disgusting. It is disgusting. And a lot of it has to do with the not following of permits and with just a proliferation of these Airbnbs. I beg of the people who are going to come here on vacation, please go to a hotel, go to a bed and breakfast, one that is actually certified. You'll have a good time. And if you don't have water, there's a reason why you don't have water. So you roll with it. And if you can't roll with it, find someplace else to go. And please don't bother the Hawaiians. Please don't bother our friends there.
Right. So many correlations. All right, Deborah, I've got to let you go. Thank you so much for coming on, sending care to you all there, and likely talk to you again soon.